Hello and welcome to this episode of No Blasters with me, Kieran Bartlett. We'll talk to today's guest in just a wee minute, but it is Irish comedy hero, Michael Rice.
Yes!
How's it going? Living the dream.
Comedy hero, I like that.
It's good, isn't it? It's better than legend. I don't want to be a legend, I want to be a hero.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? A hero's more active, legend feels like the
legend
past.
Feels like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It feels like it's all behind you.
That's right.
Hero's active.
Yeah.
So, yeah, today's episode is sponsored by Manscaped.com. Manscaped.com is the home of the very best in male below-the-belt grooming. We're coming into springtime now. Time to get the silver out and polish it, as they say. So go over to Manscaped.com, use the code, and by polishing silver, by the way, sorry, I am, of course, talking about shaving your bag now. Manscaped.com, use the code NOBLASTERS20, all one word, NOBLASTERS, the number 20, NOBLASTERS20, for 20% off and free shipping. The best products, I think, that you can get over there, the ones that I would highly recommend would be the ball deodorant, the ball toner, I have like a beardy shampoo now that I use, which is nice, all soft and all. There's about 7 grey ones here, which I'm fucking very distressed about anyway. I also highly recommend the Lawnmower 5.0, the Weed Whacker, which is for your nose and ears, and the Handyman, which is like for doing like wee lines, a wee bit of a... And then there's the Hedger for your beard. All great products. Check out the performance package. You get a number of those things in a great little soap bag. It's a great time. Use the code NOBLASTERS20 for 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. We love them. They love us. It's a good time. Today's episode also sponsored by the greatest little bistro you've ever been to in your life, Joxer. So Joxer have locations in Hollywood, Bangor, Royal Hillsborough, in Hillsborough. So I was in the Bangor one the other day for dinner. Sensational menu, right? It's a different menu at nighttime. So they generally open late from Thursday through to Sunday. From 5 until late. If you're going to book a late table in any of those locations, please use resdairy.com and search for Joxer. You can also get like teas, coffees. They do an amazing brunch during the day. The menu we had the other night, we'll have a wee dirties out at the minute for it. They're doing these wee stuffed olives that are somehow coated in breadcrumbs or something and deep fried. I know it's here. It was a great time. Comes with garlic mayo. I also had... an unbelievable dessert. It was like a chocolate tart with like coconut through it. It was like a wealthy man's bounty. It was great. So check that out. We love Joxer. They love us. They're doing a cocktail club. This is running Thursday to Saturday. Dan loves it. Check us out. They do all kinds of cocktails. They do great little mimosas. And it's a deal for...
Two cocktails, two small plates for £25 per person.
Two cocktails, two small plates, £25 per person. That's a great time. The cocktails are lit. The wee plates are great. You can share them. It's a great time. Last thing that I need to tell you about is our Patreon over at patreon.com/NoBlasters. This is the home of No Blasters Extra Time, that podcast you get every Thursday to supplement these great Tuesday episodes. I play a lot of FIFA on there. We just recorded one this morning. I score goals. That's all I'm saying. The big man scores. It's a good time. And we also have our specials on there. Smells Bitchin's on there. Loads of content. It's £3 a month. You can pay £6 if you want to play me on FIFA. It's a great time. Over at patreon.com/NoBlasters. We'll see you. I was about to say we'll see you in the next one. We'll see you over there. We'll see you over there for threepence a month. So what's the crack, mate? We're back. We're talking here today with Irish comedy hero Michael Rice.
Mike. Well, it is Michael, but then I had it in my head. Show business, Mike Rice.
Yep.
That's two syllables. You know what I mean, Mike Rice. Like that's yep. You know what I mean. And ever since I've done that, I've been going from strength to strength.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That changed everything for me. I'm good, lad. I'm good now. I just had a... Have you ever been to a place called Sandwich Station there across from the Europa Bus Centre?
No. Sandwich shop?
It's a
sandwich. I'm imagining.
It's a sandwich shop, but it's, you know, I like it because it's wedged in between. So, like, there's Greg's, Starbucks, there's Costa.
There's a Subway down there as well.
There's a Subway, but it's all these corporate chains. And then this little sandwich shop. And it's just, you know, it's the Irish local people. But I just got a lovely little breakfast roll out of there now.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hit the spot. Sausages, rashers, and egg, but like... But it was all just very fresh, and she buttered the roll with real butter, and I just felt there was a lot of love in it now.
I like when a place doesn't fuck around with things like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I dislike? Do you ever go in? This is when you're getting garage meat. You ever go into a garage for a sandwich, and the classic that every sandwich place asks you now is butter or mayo.
Right.
And I hate when I like a light skim of mayo. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I hate when I ask for it and they go into that with some kind of spatula or like
fucking the big scoopy knife, bread knife, big thick fucking and butter knife from hell.
They go into that and then they just go, and it's like, it's too much, but it's also they get the bits from, you know, the outside of the maybe got mayo in like a big tub, and they get the skin bits
from the outside of the bucket, and they're throwing the skin. I don't want skin.
I don't want mayo skin.
Like, they should ask for that. You want butter, mayo, and skin.
And how do you like your mayo? Do you like it skinned, or do you like it de-veined?
Right. Yeah. It's rotten. Yeah, but they did a great one. And God, they're not paying me at all. But sandwich station.
Maybe they will after this.
Huh?
Mike Rice, he loves it. Sponsorship.
Maybe do throw me a few bucks. I don't hear anyone else giving you any fucking
sandwich
press.
I haven't been there. Do you know, it's weird though, because I'm always on the lookout for a good sandwich place in Belfast, because I'm going to say, there's not as many as there used to be. Do you know where it used to be amazing? Do you remember this? Do you remember Doorsteps on Lisburn Road? Now, I know it's still there, but we're going back here. And do you know what? I'm not disparaging it. I'm sure it's lovely now, but it isn't the same as it was when I was first at uni. Now, you're going back... We're going into the sands of time here. We're going back 15, 16 years, which is fucking mental to me. But I would have been going over with my mates. And it's like, it's slightly too far away from the uni to make it to make it an efficient economic lunchtime trip.
Right.
But if you've got the wheels, oh, mate. It's They used to do this sandwich. It used to be queued out the fucking door.
Oh.
And they used to have like a troop of just fucking sandwich ninjas, just assassins, right? Just in there.
Yeah.
And they had this one. Mine was the Thai red chicken. Oh, mate.
Sandwich? Right. You put that in a sandwich now?
Yeah, so you get like brown bread.
Curry sandwich?
Mayo. Jeez. Thai chicken.
That's not
lettuce,
right.
Sweet corn. Salt, pepper.
Jeez, you're dancing with the devil there now.
Next bit of bread with mayo.
Whoa.
Unbelievable.
A big fucking curry sandwich.
Can of Diet Coke.
Ah.
Crisps,
like pack of crisps as well. What crisps do you have with an old sandwich?
I would have got tato chicken with that. And I'll say this.
Did you say tato chicken?
Yeah, it's like roast chicken, you know, like an orangey bag.
Jesus, I don't know if I'd like be vibing bag. With that now.
I'll tell you this.
Please do.
Say when you burped after some of that Coke, it's a whole experience. You feel like you're in a kitchen.
So you're telling me after you munch down these chicken tatos, swig a Diet Coke, and a bite
of the sandwich, a crisp.
Oh!
Diet Coke, and then the inevitable...
Like, that's global warming right there. Man, that's a fucking, lot of the cause was, of global warming.
It was brilliant, though.
Jeez, nicer things have come out of cow's arseholes.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
The sandwich, do you know why it was called Doorsteps?
Why?
Because it's as big as a doorstep.
Oh!
That's why.
That was nice thinking.
That's what I was always told.
Was it the creative team behind that?
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, do.
Two times in my life, comedy happened in there, right? One time was, this is probably one of those things that's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
And possibly not that funny in real life.
Yeah.
But my mate John always used to get the same sandwich. We always called it the Christmas sandwich because it was, you know, bread, mayo, and then it was turkey, stuffing, ham.
Nice.
Lettuce and what do you call it? Cranberry sauce. So
right.
It's a fucking Christmas sandwich. But in there, it was called the number 11. Right, but we affectionately called it the Christmas sandwich. Like if you were taking an order for John, he'd go Christmas me, right? And you'd go get
Christmas
it.
Me.
Yeah,
that sounds like you'd go to a Christmas tree with Iris or something.
You go get him it, right?
Ah,
and get three guys to look up at a star, right? And then we one time Sheila was going, and we said, I said to her, Ty read me, right?
And Ty then, read me?
And then she said...
That could be in a lot of things as well, couldn't
it? What does John want? And I asked John, and he wanted Christmas, and I went the Christmas sandwich. But she actually went in and asked for it. And they looked at her like she had fucking two heads. Now to me...
When she said Ty read me?
No,
was
when,
it,
no
or
when
the
she said Christmas,
Christmas me.
Yeah,
and Ty read me. Sure, they thought this is the horniest woman that's ever... walked upon ground in Belfast, and, coming in here just looking for all sorts of mother of God.
So I think that's funny.
Christmas me.
But this one was funny.
Yeah.
My mate Johnny lived, when he was a student, he lived in Tates Avenue, which is like 10, 12 minute walk to his house, to the sandwich shop. And one day he was absolutely hanging together. Like this house became a party house.
Yeah.
All right. It was just... Any night of the week, it's going on to 4 or 5 in the morning, right? It was mental. Right now, I went down to see Johnny one morning, and he was in fucking bits. And I went, you know what you need? You need a fucking doorsteps. By what you mean, I'm getting a Thai red sandwich right now, right?
Yeah.
So I said to him, do you want something? And he goes, yeah, I'll text you my order. I had to go
so
over
he
this.
Didn't want
to
make
have
the
I talked about this before,
then.
A sandwich that he fucking ordered?
Yeah.
What do you hear? This is a war crime, right?
All right.
He had bread... Mayonnaise, brackets, plenty of.
Plenty
right?
of, right.
Plenty of mayonnaise.
A horny little man.
And then on top of that, where do you hear this? This
yeah.
is mental. Tuna mayonnaise.
Oh!
Egg mayonnaise.
Oh!
Jalapeno peppers.
Ah!
Hot sauce sandwich.
That's as saucy a sandwich as you'll find now.
And I was like...
Jesus Christ.
I was like, you're going to need something to dry that. Like, you're going to need to put like a layer of kitchen roll in that, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I said... When I ordered it, I literally said to the woman serving me, I went, I have to order a couple of sandwiches here, and it's not
right.
just because of me, right? I went, I'm ordering for other people. I went, one of these is mental.
Yeah, and don't judge me
and,
for
and
it.
And she's looking at me going, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
And when I said, and egg mayonnaise on that, she went, what? And I went, I don't know.
I think that would have upset her, because the mayonnaise, plenty of, you're thinking, all right. A man's a man has needs, a man has wants. Then you're going to tuna mayonnaise and you're thinking, all right, it's you're kind of, you're putting a hat in a hat here,
yeah,
but
yeah.
listen, I'll go along with it, right? Then the egg mayonnaise, you have to start thinking, do you know what I mean?
I've never heard that, that's great.
Yeah. But the egg mayonnaise, then surely you're just like,
triple
the
hats.
Man has killed
yeah.
people, do you know what I mean? Check his basement.
Imagine his burps.
What?
That's what I want to.
Ah,
you know what I mean?
She's just calling
Eggy
up little
tuna.
Mayo babies.
I know, just stinking.
Fucking,
and that's stinking.
Ah!
And he
mayo
that,
coming out
that's
his ears.
His actual he that's his actual like because I confronted him about this I want to say 6 months ago
you brought it up to him was
yeah,
there an intervention
he lives in London now and I one of the last times I saw him second last time I saw him I was like this story came up and I said to him about it and what Dan
is it Gianni
oh it's Gianni yeah, my mate Gianni yeah. so he I confronted him about this and he's like that's my sandwich that's like so that's like I thought maybe it was like in a moment of deep sickness and being hungover.
Right.
His body was telling him,
he was going
get me fish oil and protein, like, you know
what
I mean?
He was having a little mental breakdown.
But
it's
his actual sandwich.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah, you kind of thought he was so hungover, he was maybe not fully in the human, he was kind
yeah.
of in a dream state
yeah,
or the astral
like,
realm.
You know, whenever, like,
yeah.
you know, like,
a lunar state.
A hungover man's very like a pregnant lady.
Oh, very
in
much
in terms
so.
Of like what you crave, what you feel like
and
you need,
you
know.
And what comes out here is the size of a baby as well.
Fucking right, it
the
is.
Shites,
oh.
fuck me.
See, I don't really drink anymore, so I don't have this.
Lad, I remember one time, and this is what really fucking does me in with gender neutral toilets. I know you quit, I'd love to quit drinking now. I'm making an absolute fucking dog's dinner of myself. But I, with the booze, Jesus Christ. But I remember I was in, Germany, I was doing a gig, right? This is a couple of years ago. And anyway, it was before a gig, and I don't know about you, sometimes I get nervous before a gig. I'm like, Jesus, I need to shit now, or it could come out on
yep.
the wrong punchline,
yep.
you know what I mean?
Yep.
So anyway, I goes into this toilet, a gender-neutral toilet, and I'd had about 12 pints of Guinness the night before.
Fuck.
Now...
Guinness shits are always a different thing.
Lad,
well.
I swear to God, like, when this is how
Turf.
Bad they are. When I was growing up, if... My father had like over like 10 pints of Guinness the night before. The next day, my mother would send us to our cousins. Do you know what I mean? Because she was genuinely, this is not, I'm not joking. She's afraid it'd like stunt her growth or something. Do you know what I mean? She's
yeah.
like, she knew the house would be like Chernobyl, you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so you know what it does to you. But this one of these hungover ones where you're just fucked and you've eaten shit food that day. So I was there anyway, and I was taking this old shite, you know, and I was fucking, you know, just sweating. Every bad memory I've ever had is coming up into your head.
Yeah.
Like, ah, fucking Jesus. You know. And finally, I get up to get off the toilet, but I'm so weak now at this stage. I've shat out any courage or strength I had, so it's all in the toilet. So I get up off the toilet, and my legs are gone weak. Yeah, yeah. Like a newborn baby calf trying to walk, and I'm stumbling towards the door. I'm fucking gone blind in one eye, you know. I'm muttering to myself in Hebrew. And anyway, I reached the fucking door to come out the fucking door. Opened up. Now, this is one of the worst shits Europe has seen, you know. I would say in the last 50 years. I opened the door. Who's waiting outside? The most beautiful German woman I've ever seen in my life, right? And she's there. And I was like, oh, for fuck. And then her little 4-year-old German daughter, right? And the daughter was just looking up at me, right? With her little smiley German head in her. She did a little picture. I'm sure I knew she wasn't going to be smiling for long, you know. Aww. She wasn't even going to be German for long. The kind of shit that'll turn you Dutch, you know what I mean? Like,
I actually don't.
But I don't either, but
it's great.
Do you know what I mean?
It's great.
Like, after
she I remember doing a couple of like mind benders, like when I would have been drinking, like ones that like you just have you make like asking questions about what actually happens in there.
Yeah.
Because like my knowledge of what goes on in here is probably quite limited.
Yeah.
You know, from school, like I mean. Even, like I remember the order of the digestive tract.
Ah.
But I still don't understand. I remember we did this thing in biology where we made essentially a digestive bag where we put some different foods into these different bags with all the chemicals that digest your food, fake spit and all. Does your body make like weak, I want to say you make weak sulfuric acid? Is that something that you make?
Yeah, sure.
I think.
Go for that.
Be wrong. You make something.
Make something, yeah.
I don't think it's hydrochloric. I think you make, there's no way it's chloric. I think you make a weak sulfuric acid to digest food. Anyway, so I was,
gastric acid is made of hydrochloric acid.
So you've nailed that, have you?
It's chloric. No, I was Bartlett. Wrong. I was wrong.
Ah, fuck you. Here, just.
Listen, I was drinking sulfuric acid, right?
You fool.
And, But we made these bags of it and after like, you know, it was like one of them ones where you make it and you come into science the next day. And it hasn't obviously processed it into like a wee log, but mate, see the bag when you open it.
Yeah.
Like we're pouring wassets in it now.
Whoa.
Absolutely.
You were feeding the bag.
You feed the bag. Like
The bag's a hungry bag.
Absolutely rank. Like, Jesus. And you just go, that's all happening inside you. Like, I mean, I'm sorry if I sound mental, but like it's a miracle. Like, I'm here. No one cares because everyone does it.
Yeah, we're all numb to the majesty of the human body.
It's mental,
isn't it?
The amount of things that go in.
What's going on in all of us right now is
in here.
Its own little
in the drive.
Mother of God, man. Fucking
people wonder why I don't want to do a comedian's boxing. I'll tell you why.
19
I'll tell
autistic
you why, monkeys. Do you know what it is? People are like, oh, why would you not fight in it? And I'm like, apart from the fact that I'm not aggressive, I believe that in order for the fight to be fair, I would have to fight another unit.
Right.
Right? I don't want to get thumped in the head by somebody that's 20 stone.
Fuck that.
Nor do I want to be a man who's over 20 stone thumping people in the head.
Ah, you'd like to take down a little twink of a fella.
Yeah.
Put him in his place.
Me and Aaron Butler are a fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, I'll mash him.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know what I mean? But also, Butler's skinny, so he'll fight to the death.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta be aware of that.
Well, there's a hunger to the skinny lads. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
They're ravenous.
They're hungry because people like me have stolen their food. Do you know what's mental, though? I remember doing, like, there's definitely a couple of, like, proper, what you said there about like all the mental torment when you're taking a shit like that, or even
Christ.
If you're not even
the shame,
just the hangover shame is
lad,
brutal.
The dreads. But I've often thought, like, because I think I shit a lot, you know, like I shit so much that I've just had diarrhea forever. For my whole life, I just took one downstairs and before I came up. It's not right, but I did it. You know, I didn't.
You're just off a flight though.
I know, but
sometimes the altitude, I think, pushes it out of you.
But you're walking into all ye work hard and pay tax, and this old Egypt from down south coming in taking a massive shite in your toilet. You don't deserve it. But
it's at least it was in the toilet.
Huh?
At least it was in the toilet.
Barely, but yeah, it. There's bits I had to do a clean up job anyway. But but I had to take a lot. I've just always had.
If you're doing like how many a day we're talking
like
here?
Six maybe, five or six. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
That's huge.
And also terrible.
There's been a lot of scat banter on here last couple of episodes, by the way. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah.
People aren't happy.
Some people weren't happy about it.
Because it's going too far into
it. I won't name that person, but somebody sent us a three screener. You know, like a fucking...
Right.
A message.
I suppose, you know, some of these people are, you know...
Are you happy?
Decent, God-fearing people trying to listen to something on their way to, you know, work in a hotel where...
Don't pretend you're above taking a dump, though.
Everybody
poops.
This is what I don't understand. Everybody poops sometimes. And some of us always. I poop always. But when I was young.
I poop always is an unbelievable t-shirt.
Yeah.
I poop always.
I do, and I enjoy every one, but they're all fairly smelly. And
most of them.
I know, to be fair, I don't like that. You know when people go into a toilet and they're like, oh, and they come out of a toilet and they're like, the toilet stinks. And it's like, yeah, do you know what goes on?
I know,
there?
But see, to be fair, I went in the toilet for a pish last night.
Yeah.
And it's not a shit smell in this toilet.
That's worse.
This is in a cinema. I'm going to throw it out there. It's like a dirty dick smell.
I'm like,
clean this place.
People have been...
Deep clean it. Bleach the walls.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Right.
You know the one where you go into it and you literally go...
I know,
and
yeah.
It's not a shit smell. Although, do you know what it did used to hit? There was... When I taught in the uni up on the coast, there was a... That sounds very majestic. In Coleraine, right?
Yeah.
There were a couple of...
I flew there on my Phoenix.
Yeah, in the old building... There were a couple of bogs that were quite small, like one toilet, one urinal type bog. Small toilets. And it was stepping into another member of staff's shit heat wasn't great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Where you're walking in, your boss or somebody like that's walking out and you're like,
right,
doctor, you know, professor.
Professor, yeah.
Good day, Professor. Open it and
then
go.
You inhale their knowledge.
And then fucking right. Yeah.
Oh, now I know. Yeah. Now I know about the Russian Revolution.
And when I'm leaving, they're coming in going, right, Karen? I'm like, inhale that Thai red. It's so grim. Like.
Well, I used to get off my mother because I was like, because of my prolific shitting, which was from an early age. So when I went to school, like secondary school, I used to get a note from my mother. It was like a shitting license.
Oh wow!
So I had a license to shit. So like
that's mental.
So basically, the note just said, "Here, listen, Mike shits a lot. So you know, if you ask,
be sound about that.
Be sound about that. But sure, I abused my little shitting license. You know what I mean?
So you would. I would have abused that.
I'd be going out for a shit, and then I'd be in 5 minutes. I'd be like,
yeah, know? No, I would have abused that. Yeah.
You know.
That's great, though. Great to have, like, a get-out-of-maths-free card.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? What was your favourite thing at school, your favourite subject? Like? And least favourite?
Well, I say my favourite was religion. religion, lad, because I love our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and it was nice to know more about him. It was good to get to know him. No, you know what? It's good to get to know the guy.
To get to know the guy
behind the myth. She was just like one of those lads. He shit, puked, and pissed just like every man on earth. No, but that was the truth as well. Jesus, they don't have that in the Bible. It's half the time he was squatting over some fucking river taking a shite. Do you know what I mean? But they leave that bit out.
And then
they don't want to humanize people. Like,
further upstream.
Huh?
Always go upstream. yeah. Always go upstream for the baptism.
I didn't like... Subject-wise, I would say what was most interesting to me was history. Now, I generally hated all school. But I would say history was my favourite subject. But religion was my favourite class because we had a teacher, what's it called? Mr. Woods, right? And he was just... very sound man, but he had no control over the class. Mm. So everyone was just going fucking mental. We had a fella called Colin Dowland in my class who is, to this day, the funniest man I've ever come across. He was doing fucking 40-minute specials every fucking day in class. It was unreal. He was taking his sock off, putting it on his hand, going up to teachers, talking to them with the sock. They'd turn their back. He'd be up drawing cocks on the blackboard. It was amazing. And every single class without fail, he'd put up his hand and the teacher would be like, "Yes, Colin, what is it?" And he just goes, "Sir, was Jesus gay?" We just thought, and as you know, like 13, 14, this is comic genius. That's top banter. We were like, this guy, he has a future.
Ari in our school was very easy to it was one of the easiest classes to derail.
Yeah.
But in our school, if you'd come off with, "Is Jesus gay?" you're getting exercised. So like, yeah, you needed to like, you could derail an RE class. There was people in my class who specialised in this, where you could derail an RE class by asking like a, "What's heaven like?"
Right.
Or what's, like, ask like a philosophical, yes, teacher's going to talk shit for 10 minutes. We're supposed to be learning about, you know, the time Jesus calmed the storm or something on the Sea of Galilee. And somebody, slow down, Stormy. Somebody will be like, yeah.
Easy storm. Calm down a storm.
Easy storm.
Easy storm.
Some people will just be sitting there going, "Just go here, Father. What was Jesus like?" Or see, when he was calm in a storm, how did he actually do it? And all, you know, yeah. "Father, what's the kingdom of God like?" We're in 20
perfect
minutes. 20 minutes, no work, sitting there staring at the ceiling.
Unbelievable.
Listening to great banter, like,
lads, unreal. It's great.
History was my favorite, to be fair. I loved history.
Yeah, I similarly as a subject, but you know what I find with history now, and it pissed me off, was the teachers I had for history were never great. And
sad good ones.
And let me tell you this, it actually takes a talented person to make something in my mind as interesting as history boring as fuck.
Yeah, yep.
Like, that is, you are taking gold and handing it back as dog shit. That's how shite you are as a teacher, that you can't even say, just make interesting things interesting.
I remember when I was at uni, I was doing ancient history. By the way, somebody asked a question about this on Patreon. Did you see this? Somebody saying, "Was it doing a degree in ancient history worth it?" Yes, it was worth every penny. I fucking loved it. Anyway, am I using it now? Vaguely, right? I'll say this: the masters that did in ancient history, hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Harder than any other exam. Harder than any other course. Very tough, because the jump from like undergrad to that was fucking wild, and then even the jump from masters to PhD wasn't the same. Like, the jump was fucking crazy. The amount of words we had to just spit out that in that year was nuts. Anyway, so yeah, totally worth it. I use a lot of the skills I learned in that master's, so it was totally worth it. But whenever I was doing that in the uni I was in, it meant you also had to do a module of Byzantine history, or two modules of like Byzantine history and one module of modern history.
Ah.
So for modern history, I went, well, I'll just study something. My options were limited. And it was like, I think one was like Stalinist Russia or something.
Nice.
And then the other one was like the Irish, 19th century Ireland. And I went, well, I've studied 19th century Ireland.
You went for the Irish one.
So I'll go, I'll do that, because I've done it before. It'll be a bit less work.
I like the Ruskies now myself.
Mate.
What?
Talented people making something
that I
used to enjoy. Very boring. It was less,
it's
like,
unbelievable.
It was less like, here's what happened and like, we're going to, you know, go into detail on this bit of something exciting that happened. It was like, there was like a 2 week bit was about the like county level economy just before the famine, and then county level economy after the famine. And I was just sitting there going,
yeah,
this is stroke worthy. Look, I mean,
Jesus Christ.
And I don't mean,
You weren't touching yourself.
No, not no. to that. Not
and
to that.
To your eternal credit.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But I used to give fucking history tours in Dublin.
Did you?
Yeah, and then I used to give them in London as well for a while.
Where did you go in Dublin?
Huh?
Where would you, like, like walking
from Dublin Castle down around all kind of like Temple Bar area and different shit, but I really used to fucking give it socks now. Yeah. I'd love getting people riled up like about Irish history and just making history is fucking unreal.
Yeah.
And it's the stories are unbelievable. So if you just be a good fucking storyteller, like it's you can give people at last time.
How long did you do that for?
A couple of years.
Mental.
And then and I used to give these like little cliff tours out in Hoth as well, where I'd bring these American tourists out to Hoth, and you know, you'd read them like.
Is that a different place to Hoth, where the sort of shitter Newgrange is, or is that the same place?
No, this is a different place, I believe. But as like a cliff walk and everything, I'd go out there and I'd read like bits of James Joyce and WBH and the Americans like, oh fuck, oh my god, fuck. You know, they'd be absolutely they'd be ripping the fucking the yoke off themselves. But they'd be going bean picking. No, but but I remember it's all Americans, you know.
Yeah. They love it, don't they?
Ah, lad, they can't believe what you're saying. They can't believe anything's happening. They can never believe anything is happening ever. Do you know what I mean? They just like, even when you're in Ireland, they can't believe you're Irish. You're like, I am, be God, yeah. And they're like, wow. And you're like, yeah, good man. This is about Marjorie. But I remember like, but they're mad as well, like, you know, and a lot of them are old, retired, and they've a lot of money, and, you know, they've lived in Florida too long, so the sun's giving them brain damage, and they're just, fucking, hey, man. So like one time I was there on the tour, and these young girls were on the tour, right? You know, noise. 12, 13. No, I'm joking.
This guy.
Like, you know.
This guy.
They're in their 20s. And whatever. So was I. It was all fair. It was all, we're all.
Fair. It's all fair.
It was all fair. It's all legal. And
not a chance.
No. It was all in the spirit of Christ. And so next thing anyway, I was chatting to a couple of them there. They were coming up to me talking. This old American lad, he was really like angry looking in the thing. And he just said, just how much pussy are you pulling down from this racket?
Unbelievable.
I was like, lads.
From history tours?
I was like, that's an after tour question now, Tom. Do you know what I mean? You can't be saying that.
An after tour question?
Yeah.
Sensational.
That's something you bring up to me.
Weirdly, I was going to ask you, was the coin good for it? Was it a tips good?
Oh, lad.
Americans love a tip.
I was like the King of France. I was, Jesus, there's...
No head.
I had been guillotined by the peasants. The Americans, sure, they'd be.
They love a tip, don't they?
Ah, lad, they'd be trying to buy you a house. They'd be, you know, trying to give you their eldest daughter. It was, they're trying to put their daughter in the cap I'd be putting around for money. They'd be trying to put her in it. It'd be,
unbelievable.
Oh, lad, it was a great old fucking time.
What was it like down in London, and where were you going there?
Well, London there, I was going down, I was doing the changing of the guard tour. So, do you know? You just give the royal history of England. I'd sing the Grand Old Duke of York. Do you know what?
I heard a great joke about that one time.
Did you?
It was Hegarty's. I don't want to do another comedian's joke.
Right. Is it to do with the current Grand Old Duke of York?
No.
Right.
No, it was the song.
Yeah.
You know, that he said... I don't want to do his joke.
Well, you've said it's his, so you've credited him.
Yeah. Oh, well, he...
Does he still do it?
I don't know. I don't think so. Well, he would say that the Grand Old Duke of York... This is so funny to me that his mates or something that was like his mates said he was like bipolar, you know?
Yeah.
Because when he was up, he was up. That's fucking, and he just leave it there. He never would say the other half of it.
Oh!
He lets you do it. Top bander from Sean Hegarty. Like,
what I love is a man who will just, he'll have enough trust in the audience's intellect.
Yeah,
you're not
spoon feeding it.
I'd be too needy now. I'd have to say it. I would hungry little cunt that I am.
I would definitely need to say it to somebody, even out of context, before I go to sleep again.
Yeah,
you know, just, you know, go home and just be like, when he was down, he was down. I'm ready. I can go sleep.
Right. Good night now. Yeah. That's all for
fucking,
me.
I have a real issue. What? Like, say,
yeah.
Say if, like, you know, you're maybe in it, like, say, a conversation. Like, I know, even like, say, 7, 8 o'clock at night, you're in a conversation.
Yeah.
Say if I'm getting towards like 12 and I've been cut off in a conversation from saying something, I will almost probably need to speak it in the pillow. Like, like the thought will stay inside me like a broken piece of glass unless I extract it.
Jesus Christ. It's like violent imagery.
It's like, what do you call him? Dumbledore extracting fucking thoughts out of his ear, you know? And putting it into the... Oh, I love a bit of Harry Potter.
Would you think yourself in some way akin to a wizard?
I'm doing a rewatch right now.
Really?
This is the first rewatch of 2024.
Do you rewatch them every year?
I'll do twice a year, maybe.
Twice a year? Holy mother of... I wouldn't have had you for that now.
Started Philosopher's Stone the other day.
Can I ask a question that we didn't get to in Patreon? This is a question from me. What are your thoughts on Miriam Margolyes' comments last week?
What did she say now?
Comments?
It was about adult Harry Potter fans should just get over it.
Oh! See, to be fair, I saw her make these comments live in Belfast at an event. I went to see her at an event in the Waterfront late October. And we went to see her. She's very funny. And people were asking her about Harry Potter. And she basically says, she goes, reading the books is fine. Loving it's fine. Move on to more difficult texts now. You're an adult. That's what she said when we saw her. And I laughed. I think she's funny. I sort of agree with her. Like, I mean, here, Harry Potter, do you know what? It's not my life. It's a flavour in the stew.
It's a bit of cilantro.
Yeah, it's a little bit
of herb.
Yeah, it's a wee bit of cumin.
A little bit of...
It is. I mean, you could...
Hot sauce.
You could... It is. It's more of a hot sauce because you could say that it's a flavour... It's a big flavor, but it's still only a flavor.
Yeah,
it's not the only thing I've read or anything like that.
But it's mostly what you've read.
It's mostly.
It is mostly.
Do you know, I certainly judge people if they say they really hate it.
Now, and would you say J.K. Rowling? Do you have more or less admiration since you found out what she thinks about trans people?
Well, I haven't heard what she thinks.
Huh? Look at him. He's off.
Ever the diplomat.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't want to talk about that.
You're dead right.
Yeah.
I put you on the spot there now, haven't I?
I don't know.
That softened your cough, didn't it, Bartlett?
It'll shorten my afternoon, I'll say that. Softened your cough. Well, tell me about Hat on a Hat. I enjoy that.
Do you know what? I just heard it.
It's a great phrase.
I tell you what, I love picking up an owl.
Great phrase. See, shortened your afternoon. I heard that recently.
Yeah.
Somebody said it. So a lady said it whenever I was filling up the car and it was fucking expensive and she goes,
"Yeah,
I'll shorten your afternoon." And I went, I'm taking that forever, by the way. That's
so
anything expensive, anything shit, yeah. Shortens your afternoon. There we go.
Absolutely. Love it. I had, even when I said there, I was like the King of France. I heard someone say that once a while ago when they were talking about Jesus, I had a big fucking... They're like, I had a big fucking plate of food. There was Yorkshire puddings, beef. Jesus, I was like the King of France. And I just thought, that's amazing. I'm going to use that every time anything good is happening in my life. I'd be like, Jesus, I was like the King of France. You know what I mean? It's just...
That's fair enjoyable. I love when he turns a phrase.
But like Aaron McCann said one to me. I was on the phone to him there a while ago and he was hungover. I was like, oh, were you drinking much last night? He's like, yeah. He's like, I was as full as a gypsy's tit. and like that's when I hear that, like, that's, I will now use that forever. As full as a gypsy's tit. I mean, mad. That's just fucking beautiful. Like,
McCann's funny for shit like that.
Yeah,
them cultures, mate.
Well, that's it. It's people from the land, so they've nothing else. They have
to turn phrases because, you know, they can't turn to shops because there aren't them.
There's no shops, there's no cinemas rented, so people just stand across from each other on the road just whispering phrases.
Yeah.
Whispering phrases in the wind to each other.
Speaking of cinema, I finally sat down and did Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Sat down and did it the other day. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Do you know what? I'll be dead honest with you now. I found it kind of dragged a little bit.
I felt like the first
half... the hole out of it.
Felt like the first half an hour was dog shit.
Yeah.
And then it really kicked on. Because I was sitting there going, oh, fucking get there.
Yeah.
And then I enjoyed the last, mostly, 2.5 hours. Is Emily Blunt the most overrated actor at the minute?
I don't know if she's the most overrated.
Certainly one of the most.
Do you know what I liked her in now? I liked her in Sicario back in the day.
That was good.
That was good.
Although I often wonder...
But I don't know if she was the piece de resistance.
Did I like her in that or did I just like Sicario?
I liked Sicario and I liked Benicio Del Toro and Josh Brolin probably a bit more because they're badass men and I'd be a men guy. I like a nice juicy man.
Man guy, he plays for Luton, doesn't he?
Sebastian Men guy.
No, I don't know. I think she slips in here.
Stealing a living.
Couple of wee bits of English accent coming through in that American character. I don't like.
She's one of the laziest women now to ever turn her hand to acting.
That's it.
If there was work in the bed, she'd sleep on the floor. This lame woman. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what it means, but I didn't enjoy her. I thought Cillian Murphy was fucking unreal, and I thought, do you know who I really enjoy? Because I'm a bit of a fanboy of this guy, and it's a weird guy to be a fanboy of.
Who?
David Krumholz. So
Krumholz.
Yeah. So
crumbs around his hole. So he was sandwiches up his arse.
He was in. As long as it's tie red. He was in 10 Things I Hate About You. He's
Josh Hartnett.
No.
Oh, right.
It's just not even. He's
I got
not in
excited
that.
There.
No,
that's a
David Krumholz. He's the elf in the Santa Claus movies.
I know who you're on about.
He was in Numbers, the show Numbers. Do you remember that show?
And you're a Krumholz fella.
I'm
gone all in on Krumholz.
I'm weirdly a fanboy of his, so I very much enjoyed him. I think he played somebody. He played a guy called Robbie in this.
And
Robbie.
He is as Jewish as a man can look.
Well, he is Jewish. Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
So he
a beautiful little Jewish man.
I thought he was great in it, and I enjoyed seeing him in
a big movie.
In a big movie again, because it's been a while.
I thought Josh Hartnett was in it as well.
He was good, and also good to see him in a big movie.
I was
again,
delighted.
Yeah.
I said, poor old Hartnett. They kind of relegated him to kind of old silly TV Shite. Shows now for a while, and it's been embarrassing.
It has.
Because Pearl Harbor and
he was huge.
I'm the man.
Pearl Harbor's probably one of the things that fucked him, though. No.
Well, I think that
it's not great. Like,
it's not a great movie, Butcher. It didn't stop a million wanks being fucking over the old gap. Do you remember that movie there where it was called, I think, 40 Days and 40 Nights?
Yeah, he was in that.
Where he's in that, and the whole premise was, I suppose,
he's not gonna throw a load for.
He's not gonna throw a load for 40 days or 40 nights, and sure then he's just fucking rubbing up against trees and
he rides someone with a flower, doesn't he?
That is one of the dumbest,
weirdest
scenes in movie history. Is he starts just blowing a petal around this one's snatch, and next thing, your one is fucking off to the races, and you're like, this is the biggest load of shite now. If I took out a petal of a flower and started blowing it around my girlfriend's hooch, I'd say this has to be sectioned now.
It's okay to start that way, but if you're going to pretend that it's not like sand on a table.
That's right.
Then, you know.
But also, sorry, he's not even a trained botanist.
They love that. I'm so happy that's happened. I like pleasing these guys.
What's sand
in a
on
weird
the table?
Way. That sounds weird.
To these lads.
No, I'm saying if you're not going to pretend like it's like sand on a table.
Oh, sand on a table.
No, sanding a table.
Oh, sand. I thought you said sand on a table. And you know what? I said I won't call him up on it, but that makes no sense. I said he's after saying a stupid thing.
This is after going, if there's fucking something in the bed, she's on the floor, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, no.
If there was work in the bed, she'd sleep on the floor. That's how work averse she is.
I get it.
That if there was work to do in the bed.
I misheard you to be
there
fair.
There you go.
I
used a wonderful turn of phrase.
I'll sand the table, you work in
the
bed.
For fuck's sake.
That's fine.
But,
that's cute.
I tell you fucking Murphy now, and sure, he's a great lad, you know.
Who's this?
Cillian.
Oh, right, sorry.
Our own Cillian Murphy.
I was going, who's this? You're on with?
No. I'll kill you now.
Do you know him?
Huh?
Do you know him?
Ah, sure, listen, I don't not know him. Do you know what I mean? And I won't go any further than that. I'd love to know him now. Although he seems, he's a reserved character. Hollywood can't believe the way he's carrying on.
I know, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because he's not, because he just doesn't really seem to care if he's won or not, and he's not really trying to sell himself. They're like, this Cillian guy, he doesn't seem to, you know, he's kind of reserved.
It right? Makes them want him more, though.
100%. He just, he just did the role, and it's a great story. And but Cillian, how did you get into this guy's head? He's like, he just read a couple of books, and, he just tried to get into it. But Cillian, come on, what are you talking about? Sure, you do your best, and
sure, if there was work in the bed.
If there was...
Oh, mate, no, I very much enjoyed him in it. And I enjoyed...
Downey Jr.
I enjoyed him, And I enjoyed like all those. Do you know what I thought it did? It did some stuff really well. It did the mental, the like people like this. Their minds are on the fucking their minds are on the edge of like the cutting edge of humanity.
Yeah.
And there's pressure attached to that, and then it's like, they think differently. And I thought it did, you know, sort of in the same way that like a movie like A Beautiful Mind, sort of did that, and shows that line between being really intelligent and fucking a wee bit
mental,
a wee bit cuckoo. Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is about things like that, and tell me if you feel this way, but I'd be looking at now, say, Rotten Owl Oppenheimer there, and I'd say, should I be closer to an ape than I would be to him? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, you're closer to him.
Huh?
You're closer to him.
I'm closer to an owl ape, an owl fella throwing shit at his mother. Honestly. I've often thought I'd take a shite and I say, I'll tell you where I'm going to send that. Then I say, no, don't do that.
Have you seen...
Don't throw that at your mother.
Have you seen, like, videos of animals like that, like apes and whatever, when they see new things and, like, they call...
The other's over.
Like if you give them an iPhone or an iPad or something.
That's right.
They'll be like,
see, I'd look at them.
Check this shit out.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd see a video like that and I'd think, I'd hang out with them now and I'd get on well. And then I'd see something like Oppenheimer and I'd be like, he'd have no time for me now.
I don't think I would have been friends with Oppenheimer. Enough.
No way.
Yeah.
No fuck.
But I don't really want to hang out with apes either. Like, do you know what? I just want to basically.
Someone your own speed.
Yeah.
Look over at a fellow who's eating a Thai red and say,
two of us look at each other over and go.
Yeah.
And don't speak.
That's right.
Share the silence.
Share the silence.
Yeah. Do you know the only noise I want to hear? My teeth going through this lettuce. That's it.
And then to just that beautiful little fucking chicken tato diet Coke, Thai red.
I've put myself heavily in the mood to stop there on the way home. And I haven't been there in years. Years, look.
But maybe a trip down memory lane is just what you need. You're doing the Harry Potter, you might as well do this. Get back to 2008,
you know
cunt.
I mean? It was great.
Yeah.
Do you know it was class? United won the Champions League that year.
Oh!
Against Chelsea.
Lad, are you against Chelsea? That's right. Lad, when John Terry missed that penalty, I was in a smoking area in Kilkenny and we trashed it. I swear to God, just glasses smashing everyone. There's Chelsea fans with us like, you stupid fucking cunts! You smelly bastards, ye fucking shag your own mothers. We're saying things, we had no basis for the accusations. None at all. If it was to come in court, we just went fucking spastic.
I was a great
Terry
was
slipping
a great
and Terry to miss it.
I know.
And he could have won it.
When he stepped up and the commentator goes, here he comes, Mr. Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then when he missed, I was just like,
oh, lads, you know what I mean? It was fucking gorgeous.
So great.
Jesus Christ.
There hasn't really been a massive... Has there been a moment as big as that for United? I mean, being Liverpool the other day was great, but there hasn't been anything of that ilk since then.
Nah.
Van Persie's goal, maybe, but it was different.
Oh, it's different. It's to win the league. No, yeah, there's been no moment like that. And, I mean, that was the biggest moment since 99.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And then that moment, and then... I suppose in about 50 years' time, we might
win it's
something against
mental.
Useless cunts.
But no, I enjoyed, I was saying, I sort of enjoyed, like, I enjoyed the last 2.5 hours. I enjoyed that kind of bit. Where
Florence Pugh, what do you think of that?
She was good in it. She was good in it.
Did you like her now? Would you have liked her riding him now? Would you have liked her riding him? Because you saw her boobies there now.
The bit when he he's like imagining that happening.
Yeah.
When he's in the hearing.
Ah.
And she's like on him.
Oh.
I thought it was
a nice communist shag.
It was a very well.
Oh, Stalinist.
It was a very well imagined like sort of thing going on in his mind. He's sitting in a room with these people. She's thumping it.
Oh.
I thought that was good. Do you know what I thought was incredibly awkward? The bit where they were both. He was sitting. On a hotel chair, bollock naked, and then going, your dirty, smelly sex balls are on that cloth chair right now, lad.
That's like, right.
You're going to split the atom. I don't want to split hers. That's not right.
No.
Someone has to come in and use that. Someone has to use that room after you.
That's right. And I think one of the big takeaways from my film was Oppenheimer's sheer disregard for public hygiene.
Yep. He didn't
give a shite. He was leaving bits of himself.
Do you
all
know
what's
mental though? I looked up. I was reading then about the actual, because I didn't know lots about the actual
Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
So grim. I mean, obviously it goes without saying, doesn't it? But it was like,
jeez, it wasn't. It was no.
It's weird that I feel like presumably in that part of the world, like in Japan, they must teach more about that than we get taught.
Well,
it's very much like, and then they drop the atom bomb, and then it was over, and you go.
Well, see, and I'll tell you.
Did it kill fucking 80,000 people like that?
Oh,
you know?
It did. And not only that, there was lads.
All the ones that died after.
There was lads walking around and they were half their.
Yeah.
They're melting and their cock was coming out their ear and it was. It was nasty business.
Isn't
it? It was nasty.
Do you think it. Because the whole thing was that they weren't going to surrender unless they were invaded. Do you think it did save lives in that sense? Like, it certainly saved certain types of life, but did it, just purely numbers?
The second bomb, they didn't need to drop. The first one, the message had gotten across. And not only, before the first bomb, they had done air raids that killed like 100,000, even more civilians than the fucking nuclear bombs dropped. So after the first bomb, like, the Japanese were like, right? I didn't do anything wrong there. They were doing that. What? What are you laughing at?
It's just funny that you went, I didn't do anything wrong there.
They were doing that, and they're right. Enough, and the Americans, and this is what they did in Dresden as well, after the Germans had surrendered. We have to forget, they were literally like, the second one was, don't you ever mess with us again.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, they said that in the movie, didn't they? I thought that scene with that guy, James Remar, great supporting actor, great character actor.
Is that what he says about
Dexter's dad?
Where he goes, well, I actually go on holidays in.
He went to Osaka.
This part
or
of Japan, so maybe if we bomb over here and you're like,
Kyoto,
you
was it
dirty
Kyoto
dog.
Or Osaka or somewhere like that? Fuck. He said they were taken off the list.
Yeah.
The potential. Imagine sitting at a fucking meeting going, what city are we going to level? It's like planning a Karen Bartlett tour. What city are we going to de-roof, guys?
There'll be people fucking struggling from the radiation for years after Bartlett's in town. After the shites he's leaving in the town.
That's funny.
But this is true, though. After the Nagasaki and Hiroshima and that whole little stunt, we'll say, that rigmarole. So all the footage of the deaths and the people who are like deformed and the horror of the whole thing. And so there was a team sent out in America to literally find every piece of footage for whoever and destroy it. Because to keep this idea that America are the good guys, the heroes of everything, it was a massively important thing to make sure that you couldn't have
footage of that.
The footage of this. It is insane how much of a little footnote it is when we talk about these things. Like, and then they.
Definitely when I learned about the Second World War in school, it's very much like they dropped that and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
And you go, right.
Yeah. Asher, do you.
Because do you know what's interesting when you watch like the end of. When you're watching Spider-Man. like the end of like Band of Brothers and stuff, and some of them are having their actually training again to go fight in the Pacific because they haven't accrued the on the point system. So if you were fighting in Europe, you know, if you had like a Purple Heart or if you had like, if you had any other medals or if you had like a certain number of days spent on the front line, it accrued points. And if you got to a certain number, you could elect to go home.
Aye.
Or you were going to the Pacific. Now, they didn't end up fighting there, but a lot of these guys didn't anyway. So, but it was like, you
there's
know,
a new show now, like Band of Brothers, Masters of the Air.
Yeah, I haven't. I watched the first like half an hour.
Barry Keoghan's Ireland's Horniest Man.
Yeah, I didn't get into it as much.
Did you watch? Did you watch the movie Saltburn?
No, not yet.
Jesus, he gets his flute out and he takes it all out in the grave. A grave.
Mental.
I don't like telling you this now, Bartlett. Not at this time of the day. But he took out his cock, and this is an improvised scene, and he just gave it to a grave.
An actual grave.
He's lying atop a grave, and he just takes his trousers off, whips his flute out, shows his flute in the dirt, and starts fucking going, arse like a sewing machine. I'm not even joking. Just going hell for leather on the grave. But anyway, but Keoghan's gone.
I couldn't be. I could be wrong.
He's.
I don't think that's good for you.
No, sure. Listen, it's something
if it's improvised, they haven't set up any health and safety, so he's literally just rubbing his cock against gravel.
Be Jesus, yeah, but sure, you're talking about, you're surrounded by directors and actors, and they're like, bravo, commitment to the role.
Yeah, commitment to the role. No one's thinking about, like, he's...
He just needs to be sectioned.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
But he's a good lad. He's a nice fella, Barry.
He's turned a sausage roll into a sausage.
That's right. 100%.
You know what I mean? That's...
But he... I had a friend of mine who was out on the piss. And
and that's the best thing I've said all week.
What?
He turned the sausage roll into a sausage. Yeah.
Very fucking good.
Yeah. I'm good at doing self-reviews as well. Kieran was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Banger, though, right? 5 stars.
Said some things that really just seemed inspired in the moment. And fair play to me. My friend, Hugh Peacock, a good man. A good honest man from Kildare. But he was out in a pub there one night, and in the corner sure was the bowl Barry Keoghan, sipping on an old pint by himself, whispering to himself. Next thing, Peacock goes over and says, listen, I'm a big fan. Can I get you a drink? And sure, Keoghan says, no, you better not now. No, I'll be grand. And Peacock says, no problem. Goes up, gets 2 shots of whiskey, straight back down. Just completely ignores his request for privacy or anything else. So next thing anyway, sure, Keoghan gets the whiskey in, and sure, now the old devil juice hits his bloodstream. And next thing, Keoghan's up to the bar to fucking buy a round for Peacock, and the friends are in. And next thing, he whips out his phone, and he gets out his bank account and gets it up, and he says, have a look at that there now. He starts showing it around. 11 million. Oh. That's imagine nice. That now. Isn't that nice?
That's a great time.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I would love that.
Huh? I'd be happy as Larry.
I'll tell you where I wouldn't be if I had that. In a bar. No chance are the underlings getting to fucking smell me when I'm... Do you know what I would be doing? I've often thought about this. I watched a thing about really rich people before. And one of the things that I want to do, if I ever get the money to do it, it's probably only a few grand, you get a scent made for you.
Huh.
A designer perfume that's eau de twank.
Ah.
And no one else gets that smell.
Yeah.
I want to get that. I want mine to smell like a fucking... You know what I want it to smell like? You know when you're out in rural Ireland on a cold day and you open the door and you smell someone else's turf fire?
Oh!
That's what I want to be.
Scented twank.
I want to open it. I want people to go, what's that smell? And I go, Pete.
Oh!
And then I walk on. That's what I want to be.
You walk away into an alley on your own with a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that, lad.
Yeah.
My girlfriend says to me the other night, we were in bed, and she was kind of calls me up to me, and she said, you smell like a rabbit hutch. That wasn't a nice...
That's not a compliment. It's not a compliment.
That wasn't a kind thing to say to me now.
She said a freshly cleaned rabbit hutch.
No!
Maybe.
I think she meant a freshly soiled rabbit hutch. Yeah. It's a nasty thing to say to a man, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very specific as well.
Sure, yeah, but I think she... Because I grew up on a farm, so I just... The fact that I don't actively smell like cow shit, I feel like...
That's an achievement.
...is a major win. Yeah. So I think I'm probably... So I don't use, like, colognes and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
What would you throw on you now?
Hugo Boss.
Ooh.
Right,
in bed with the Nazis.
So normally I... it's the name of my new podcast.
In bed with the Nazis. Yeah. No, it's you and Rudolf Hess. Yeah.
So normally I'll go for that, the standard Hugo.
Yeah.
Silver cap, sort of peach coloured one. And undertones of apple.
Ooh.
That's what I normally go for. But then... Chloe was buying a bottle of that for me, but bought the... There's one that's called... It's that same bottle, but it's called Night. And it's like a different version of that. And I've only just started the run out of that. But then Ma Bartlett bought me a different Hugo Boss at Christmas. So I feel like it's going to be 6-7 months before I'm in the... My proper Kieran smell again.
Oh, you've got...
I could just go and buy it.
You've got a lot of different women doing kind of...
wife and my mother.
Well, that's a lot for some people, you know. There's some people who don't have a wife or a mother.
Doing my bin. This was like for... These are like presents.
Prezzies.
You know, like a birthday present, a Christmas present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, I have to say now,
is also basically somebody going, I wish you didn't smell like you.
But sure, there is. And sure, McConaughey now, the bowl Matthew McConaughey would have had the kind of... The idea that, if you know, you should smell like yourself. He would say he doesn't use deodorants or anything like that, and he just kind of goes around smelling half like an old dead calf. Do you know what I mean?
Get the roll on the go. I use a wee roll on. I used to use a spray, but I find the sure roll on to be a wee bit more gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still keeps me, I wouldn't say it keeps you ultra dry.
Right.
But it keeps you, that even if you, like, you're never going to have that pasty smell.
Yeah.
Which I can accrue quickly.
I think, to be honest,
people expect me to smell, so I don't like the smell.
Right. I think people expect me to smell, and then and that's why I like to smell.
Right, right. You like to give them what they want.
I do. Do you ever have that in with groups of friends now? And I suppose you probably have the strength of character to remain yourself at all times, whereas I'd bend to the wants
to the
people.
Whims.
Yeah, to the whims of people. do you know what I mean?
That's a very funny thing to say about yourself.
Like. Yeah, I know. Yeah, sure. I have a very flexible sense of self. But anyway, it's not good. I struggle mentally.
I think it's better to fall flat on your face than to fall backwards bending over. Yeah.
Well, you're dead right. And if I knew what you meant, you'd be even righter. But no, I kind of know what you mean. And you're right about that. But do you ever just, you know, when you're around some people and some people expect you to be a certain way.
I think this happens a lot with comedians.
And then that colours the way I'll be. Oh, people expect me to be a fucking idiot, so then I am an idiot. Now, it's not a stretch for me to be an idiot. Yesterday, now, I tell you, this was heartbreak. I don't know if you ever have a feeling, and I'd say you don't now. You have a master's, you're a distinguished man, you're writing pilots, you have a million things. Do you know what I mean? You're a man who gets things done. You're a man of character, of prestige. You're filling out arenas. You're the real king of France. But I'm a mere peasant. But anyway, I was doing the podcast with my friend Vittorio. We do together.
He's coming on here next week.
Yeah,
excited.
Yeah. He'll be great.
Sorry, but I don't know if he's going to be on the next episode. This might be two episodes away.
Right. Yeah. There's a cruelty to him, but he'll do all right. So anyway, I decide, I'm going to run to the podcast. Mm. That's I'm going to jog up. His house is about a 40-minute walk from mine. So I was like, I'm going to jog it. But so I said, I'll have to put some clothes into my bag so that when I get there, I can change into fresher clothes that I'm not stink, you know. So anyway, I put in a jumper, a T-shirt and underwear, throw on my fucking headphones. And anyway, off I go, da-da-da-da-da. And running away, halfway there. And I just kind of see someone just waving at me. I kind of take off the yoke and there's this kind of like, oh, woman. She's like, oh, your stuff. Oh, your stuff. It's going out. I look behind me and about 5 meters behind me is my jumper. Gone out the bag. My bag fully open. About 100 meters by that are a pair of underwear. And then another in the far distance, I can see the T-shirt I had brought. And across from me, so I'm running up the street, is just an outdoor like cafe where everyone's just sitting out drinking coffees. And people have just seen me jogging as the things.
And no one's saying.
No one said anything. They're just having. So I have
where
to.
Where was this, London?
This is London, yeah. After these people, they're sadists.
I'm gigging there next month. Buy tickets.
Huh? Yeah, buy tickets.
It's already happened by the time this goes out.
Yeah. Sure, listen, there's kind of.
4th of April, if it hasn't happened.
Yeah. Get tickets, you fucking miserly bastards. Sure, there's Titus two coats of paint down
Bush
there.
Hall, Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah. Same fuckers, they'd peel an orange in their pocket. But, so anyway, I'm just throwing out phrases I like now. But so, I had to go back then. It was so humiliating. I had to jog back to pick up the stuff. And then there was lads sitting out in the coffee shop and they were like, way, and I was kind of like, ye fucking, ye bastards. Yeah. And then I wouldn't mind because I'd ran past a bus stop. There was just like this old, like little shriveled up old man, and he had picked up my underwear and just holding my undies. And he's just like, they're yours, I think.
He's
and
hoping like, they're match worn, like,
and he's definitely after sniffing them already. And I said, Jesus Christ, do you know what I mean? He had a little smile on his face, like he was after getting a taste of Mike, but. And then so anyway, I gets the stuff, puts it in my bag, goes up to the podcast. I do the podcast. Fellow John Maher, do you ever meet John Maher?
don't think so.
He's a Northern Irish fellow, but he's gigging in, or he's living in London, but he's brilliant.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
Or John Maher, he would call
himself. Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I haven't met him. I know McCannum. Yeah.
Yeah, he opened for Keelty and different things. But anyway, yeah. He's a good lad. But so I was up there and I tell them the story of what a big fucking clown I am and the things coming out the bag. And they're like, ah, you big fool. And we laugh. I say, ah, I'm a big stupid idiot. Anyway, so whatever, do the podcast, pack up the stuff. Head on back, run back down. I say, I'm going to run back home now again. So I'm halfway home. I'm not even joking you. I'm not even joking you. There's something like, eh. And I look down, bag.
I'm leaving it there a second
no,
time.
And this time, lad, not only that, two notebooks have fallen out. Cause so first off, this guy stops me and he's like, he's like, your bag's open. And at this stage, I was like, I shouldn't be allowed to live alone. Do you know what I mean? I'm so stupid. Like, it's just getting to a point, it's just humiliating to be alive in public.
I'm more likely to open my bag if I stretch too far getting out of the car. You know, but I'm just like, my bag's open, you know.
Lad. But so anyway, then a truck drives by and he stops and he opens the window and he was like, I think you left a copybook back there. So people have just been watching. Again, I'm oblivious with my headphones on, listening to, you know, Taylor Swift, Wildest Dreams, jogging along, and I lost two notebooks. I went back to find them, couldn't find them. Had to walk back. I'm near half an hour looking for everything. I find the stupid underwear, but I just thinking like, you know, surely I should. If there was any mercy, I would have been drowned as a child.
Well, if there was any mercy.
If there was any mercy.
Before we wrap, anything that you want to plug or promote?
It's a good thing that you said that. I have shows, Northern Irish shows I have coming up. So on the 17th of May, I'm going to be in Omagh. What about that?
In
come
Dailies.
To that show. Dailies.
Great.
Up
great.
The fucking
have
lads.
Done, have you done Dailies?
No.
It's great.
It'll be my first time. So Dailies, please come to that. It'll be a laugh. Then the 18th in Belfast, Limelight is sold out, but we've added another Belfast show. Come on. What about that? That's on the great. Monday... in Limelight, so that'll be the 20th in Limelight, so come to that. And then the 19th of May, Derry Nerve Centre. Ha!
This guy.
What about that?
Great dates.
How about that now?
Great time.
So get tickets for them, would love to see you there. MikeRiceComedy.com, there'll be tickets for all them on there.
By and James. Check out the podcast.
And the podcast, Michael Vittorio's Guide to Parenting, yeah. And another podcast I do, Big Mike and the Chief, and you can find them on my Instagram, at Mike Rice Comedy.
He loves it.
Good
thanks,
man, Mike.
Thanks for coming.
How?
Enjoy, good man, Mike.
Well, I thought one of you'd say it.
Thanks for coming in, and it's been a great episode, and we will see you next time. I'm waiting for a sandwich. Bye.
Woo! Oh, no.